It is a privilege to be presenting the Word of God to you today, because my goal is that as we read the Word of God, that your hearts would be changed, because that's the heart of the gospel.
Yes.
It's not necessarily all the crazy things that are happening with floods and earthquakes and things like that. What Jesus is after is our hearts. And if he gets our hearts, then he gets our faith. And when he gets our faith, then we have real true success and prosperity. And so, as Pastor Daniel is going through the book of Mark, the book of Mark is known as the book of the servant. And the book of the servant, Jesus is serving people from the beginning of Mark all the way to the end of Mark. And that's what the church does too as well. We model and we pattern ourselves after the church and what Jesus was doing. In the book of Mark, there's 18 different miracles that are in that same book. It's the most miracles in any gospel. And there's a reason for that, because Jesus is showing and revealing himself to us in every single one of those miracles. And my goal today is that God continues to bless us through his church, through Jesus Christ today. And this, I consider this kind of a sequel to what Pastor Doug was talking about a few weeks ago, when he said, what does the next generation need? And his fifth point was the next generation needs the church. And so as we look at the miracles, what Jesus is revealing to us is components and parts and pieces of the church, and how he blesses each one of us through the church. And he builds us up and strengthens us, so that whatever wind of doctrine, whatever crazy thing that you hear from the internet and the news and things like that, you can compare it to the truth, to the Word of God, and come around the church and the church leadership and the church teachers and their pastors and evangelists and prophets and apostles, and we all come around together and we determine whether something is true or not, because we look at the Word of God. And so my goal today is to look at the scriptures and know that there's always a way.
Excellent.
Every person in here has trouble. I just know that you're either in trouble, just getting out of trouble, or just about ready to get into trouble. So we got to get good at handling trouble, right? And we do that through the church and through Jesus Christ, because Jesus is the way maker. Like the song we just sang, he makes a way where there doesn't seem to be a way. He's a miracle worker.
Yes.
In our prayer team, we meet every month and we pray for the church. We pray for people's needs. And you know what Jerry Collins also says? All the answered prayers, all the miracles that happen, we see that.
Yes.
On a regular, every single month. And he's a promise keeper. Jesus promises, you believe in me, and I will give you eternal life. And your sins will be forgiven, and you will be a new person. And so wherever you're sent, that light goes with you. Communities change, lives change, marriages change, relationships change, because the light of the Lord Jesus Christ, through his Holy Spirit, is living within us. You know, the Apostle Paul says, don't you know that you are a temple of the Holy Spirit, and that the Holy Spirit lives within you? And that's the church. And so what I want to accomplish today is to structure the church and how the church is blessing you now, today, and every day. And that there's more and more that you can take advantage of in our church to build you up and strengthen you, and that you become more and more leading people to the Lord. So Jesus is a way maker. He's a miracle worker. He's a promise keeper. He is light in a dark place. That is who he is. Let's look at the scripture today of the miracle that we're looking at in Mark chapter 7. This is just one of the 18 miracles, but there's a lot to glean from it. Mark 7, 31 through 37. Then he returned from the region of Tyre and went through Sidon to the Sea of Galilee in the region of the Decapolis. And they brought to him a man who was deaf and had a speech impediment. And they begged him to lay his hand on him. And taking him aside from the crowd privately, Jesus put his fingers into his ears, and after spitting, touched his tongue. And looking up to heaven, he sighed and said to him, Ephphatha, that is, be opened. And his ears were open, his tongue was released, and he spoke plainly. Jesus charged them to tell no one. But the more he charged them, the more zealously they proclaimed it. And they were astonished beyond measure, saying, He, Jesus, has done all things well. He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak. Jesus is on the move. If you really look at this passage, Tyre and Sidon are not even in Israel. It's in the northern region where the current country of Lebanon is. He was on the move. And Tyre and Sidon were actually a seaport. They were trading regions and things like that. So Jesus was on the move. He was going to where the people were. And then after that, he came all the way across and went down to the Sea of Galilee, another 50 or 60 or 70 miles. Then he crossed the Jordan into the Decapolis, which is current-day Jordan. He was on the move. This is the book of Mark. He's on the move. And you know what? Jesus is on the move in your life too.
Yes.
And he's on the move in our culture. And he's on the move. He's on the move. And so we want to focus in on what this movement is. And when we reach out to people and give them and shine a light of the Lord Jesus Christ in their lives, we can bring them into the church and train them up so that they know the truth, so they're not carried away by every wind of doctrine that they hear. You know, in 2018, there was a youth soccer team in Thailand. You may have remembered this. But a youth soccer team, they had a birthday party, and it was during the summer, and they decided to have some fun in these caves. These caverns were like 6.5 miles deep into these huge mountains. And there were streams that go through. They're beautiful. There's stalactites, stalagmites. So it's understandable that a youth soccer team would go in there and start exploring it because they love it. They grew up with it, right? But what they forgot is that there was monsoon season. Monsoon season is these torrential rains that come out of nowhere. And you're never supposed to go in these caves. Never. During the summer months because of these rains. Well, 13 soccer players were in there, were in those caves when the rains came. They didn't even hear the rains. What they noticed is that the rise of the water that was within these caves, the water rose 16 feet. And so they were terrified they couldn't get out. And so they kept moving further and further and further back into the cave system until they're 2.5 miles into this system. And what eventually happened is the parents got worried, where's my son? And then they found the bicycles in front of these massive caves in Thailand, and they realized, uh-oh, we are in trouble. This is big trouble here. And so one of the 13 members of that team, it was a 14-year-old soccer player, he was the only Christian on the team. And as the history goes, or as you read the story, he was living with his aunt and uncle at the time, and they had a church. They were pastors of a church in Thailand. And so guess what happened? The prayer went out, the worship went out, and then that spread out to all the world. I remember that when that happened. We were praying for this particular situation back in 2018. I remember like it was yesterday, we were praying for them. And God intervened when there seemed to be no way. Nothing had ever been done by this before. So they laid down about 2.5 miles of cable underneath, and they eventually sedated the kids, and they brought them out with scuba gear, and they all got out. But, you know, going through a situation like that, if you knew the area and you've never done it before, you knew you were in trouble, right? And this is God intervening. This is what our story is today. It was a man that couldn't hear. He couldn't speak. He was desperate. And then he heard. He heard there was a miracle worker named Jesus. And they couldn't wait to get to the miracle worker. And they begged him. They begged Jesus to do something, and he healed him. And you know what? Jesus does that in our life too. And so with worship and prayer, all things are possible with God. And 2 Chronicles chapter 20, 21, King Jehoshaphat was surrounded by enemies. And they were going to be routed in Jerusalem. They were going to be killed. You know what the first thing King Jehoshaphat did? He called out the choir, and the choir started singing the praises of the Lord, and the Lord routed their enemies. You see, when we look at this scripture and our faith is built, we remember these stories, and then when we get in these situations that seem impossible, break out in worship and prayer and get help from the church and our members and our friends that we've developed here, because God will make a way. He's a way maker.
Yes.
He's a miracle worker. Let's make sure we know who Jesus is. Who is Jesus? Why did he come? And what is he doing now? In John 10:30, Jesus says, "I and the Father are one." You know what that makes Jesus? God.
Yeah.
Jesus said he was God right here in John 10:30. So Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Jesus said he's God. "I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life." You build up your faith within the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. You have a way. You have a peace. You have a confidence that no matter what comes your way, you've got a way out. You've got a miracle worker on your side. So why did Jesus come? In Luke 19:10, he tells us, why did Jesus leave heaven and come down here to us? Certainly he loved us. Luke 19:10, "For the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost." That's what he did. That's what he's doing today. He's seeking and saving the lost. People who don't know him. Jesus loves, has so much love and compassion for people. The people that he created, who he knew before the foundation of the world. He came during this time period to reach out to others, to save them, and to seek and to save the lost, and to show them a new way of life. The Apostle Paul says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. The new has come. Praise God." That's a miracle in itself. Every time someone comes to know the Lord, Savior Jesus Christ, the Scripture says the angels rejoice. And so we have a way maker. Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. He does not want people to be in ignorance. In Luke chapter 4, verse 18 through 21, the great announcement happens. This is the great announcement. He quotes directly from the book of Isaiah that he is the Messiah. Listen to this. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering the sight of the blind, and to set liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And he rolled up the scroll and gave it back to the attendant, and he sat down. And the eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. And when he began to say to them, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." Boy, that caused a stir at that time. Because what he was saying is that he's God, he's the Messiah, and he's coming to seek and save the lost. And that's how he started his ministry. He made this huge announcement, and then the miracle started. In Luke 8, verse 1, soon after he made the announcement that he was the Messiah, the Savior of the world, soon afterward he went on through cities and villages proclaiming and bringing the good news of the kingdom of God. Jesus is on the move. Jesus is out seeking those who are lost. Jesus is on the move through his Holy Spirit and today through his church. He makes a way. He has compassion. He has love on people. He is a miracle worker. He keeps his promises and he brings light in the darkness. That's who Jesus is. So what is Jesus doing now? Okay, in Matthew 16:8, "And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." Jesus is building his church. Now, the word church is not a building. Jesus said church is not over there, over here. It's within.
Right.
When you believe Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, he takes up residence. Like the Apostle Paul said, you're now the temple of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is guiding your life now, and you become part of the church. The word for church in the Greek word is ecclesia. It's really two words squished together. Ek means to be brought out. And kaleo means to be called. And so the church really means you are being called out from darkness and into something else. And that is the light of the world, the kingdom of God. You are being called out. That's what the church means. You're being called out of the bitterness and the anger and the hatred and the resentment and the fear that we're feeling in our society right now. But Jesus is calling people out of that and moving them into the kingdom of God of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That's what Jesus is doing today. Ecclesia, it's the church. It's on the move. Jesus is on the move. The whole book of Mark is Jesus on the move, reaching out to people all over the world. That's why we have a Guatemala team. The light is there because the Holy Spirit is there. In Ephesians 1:22, he says, he, meaning the Father, put all things under his feet, Jesus, and gave him as head over all the things to the church. So who's our boss? Who's our head? Yeah. It's Jesus Christ, God himself, the Messiah. He's the head of the church, and all authority has been given to him. And so he is guiding our church. He's reaching out to people who are lost, bringing them from the darkness and bringing them into the light. So the church is the foundation of truth. And here's the scripture that I really want to focus on. Pastor Doug mentioned this a few weeks ago, but it's worth repeating. Ephesians 4:11 through 14. And this is the foundation of the church, not only Living Way Church, but the church worldwide. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, meaning pastors and teachers, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, meaning believers, until we all attain the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceit and schemes. Jesus is the foundation. He's the head of our church. But he put five ministries in place to keep it healthy. So if Jesus is the head, and if you take your hand, right hand, left hand, it doesn't matter. You take your hand, and this is how you remember it, right? The thumb of the apostles, the doctrine that we all follow, right? The Old Testament, the New Testament. That's a ministry that's active in the church. The finger that points to the prophets, right? The Word of God points the way. The middle finger here is evangelists. It's the longest finger on your hand, right? We have evangelists that reach out to the communities all around the world. That's why we're in Guatemala. Guess what we're doing? We're evangelizing down there. And then the ring finger. The ring finger is pastoral, right? Pastors love the church. That's why that's the ring finger. That's another ministry that's active in our church. And then the final one are teachers. Teachers build up and teach the Word of God so much so that you're not fooled by any cunning doctrine that comes your way. So Jesus is the head, and we have these fivefold ministries that are active in our church all over the world, not just Living Way Church. That's what's happening. Jesus is on the move. He has put all of these foundational pieces in place for us to enjoy him and to know his voice. One picture in the Bible. How do you bring all of this stuff together? Is there a picture? And I'm going to bring up a picture in a moment. But is there a verse that kind of gives us an illustration of what this church looks like so that we'll never forget it? And I believe it is. It's called the Good Shepherd. Jesus is the Good Shepherd. In John 10:11, 14 through 16 as well, Jesus said, "I am the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. I am the Good Shepherd, and I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock and one shepherd." That's the ultimate goal. That's what Jesus. Jesus is our good shepherd. He's bringing people, ecclesia. He's bringing people out of darkness and into the light. He's bringing people out of bitterness and anger and into the love, joy of the kingdom of God. See, when you believe in Jesus, your kingdom changes. You're a whole different person. You're a new creation. And the church is set up to teach and to build you up and strengthen you to maturity so that you can reach out and evangelize and teach and pastor and point the way that people need to go. So the good shepherd provides, he protects, and he guides. That is our good shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. He provides and he protects and he guides us in all of our ways. The next picture, I believe, if you could bring that picture up. For those online, I know you can't see this picture, but I'll describe it to you. There's a shepherd, and he has a staff, and his back is towards us, but all the sheep are following the good shepherd. The good shepherd provides, he protects. And what he's doing, and you can see that the sheep are there following. They know his voice. A shepherd spends time with the sheep. They know his voice, and his voice is spoken through the Word of God. The more the Word of God you know, the more you can relate and communicate with God. He knows his way. You know the Word. That's his language, is the Word of God. This is the way he is creating his church. Now, he also calls us sheep. Isn't that interesting? You know, sheep in the Bible are incredibly valuable. If you had a herd of sheep, it provided meat, it provided milk, it provided wool, it provided offspring. You were considered very wealthy and very valuable. But sheep have some interesting characteristics. Sheep have no sense of direction. So a sheep without a shepherd will die. Sheep need a shepherd. So, for example, I saw this article about a sheep a few months ago. Maybe it was last year. And there was a shepherd. They had 1,500 sheep. And for some reason, the shepherds decided to go on a lunch break, and they weren't looking after the sheep. Guess what the sheep did? They started wandering off. That's what they do, right? As valuable as they are, sheep wander off. And the first 400 found a cliff, and they fell over right on the cliff, and 400 died. And the next 1,100 followed them, but they lived because they bounced on the first 400 that died. It's just farmer. It happened in Turkey. But aren't we like sheep? Given to our own devices, don't we wander off cliffs and things like that? We have a good shepherd. We don't have to do that. Right? We don't have to do that. There's another story about sheep, and that is there was a group of sheep drinking out of dirty water. Right? 20 feet away, there was a pool of crystal clear, pure, wonderful water. But because the first few sheep were drinking out of the dirty water, the whole pack followed. And they were all drinking out of the dirty water. And 20 feet away was fresh water. What the good shepherd does is says, don't drink from the dirty water. Drink from the clean water. And so spiritually, the church is set up so that we learn and we teach and we grow in the Word of God, you know, which is the clean, spiritual, fresh water that's constantly working within our lives. And so that's how God makes the way. He's a promise keeper. He's a light in the darkness. That's what Jesus is. So there's five lessons that I have learned from studying the miracles of Jesus. And the miracles reveal what God is doing. So if you take just one miracle and look at it and go, okay, that's one component of what Jesus is doing, of who he is. But if you take all the miracles combined, what you find out is the church, right? He's building his church. He's revealing his authority. He's revealing his compassion. He's revealing his love for people and all the healings that we see in the scriptures. The first thing I noticed is that Jesus provides joy through the miracles. In Mark 7:37, which we just read a few moments ago, And they were astonished beyond measure, saying, "He has done all things well. He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak." Their people were so excited that the word was spreading. Why did Jesus say, "Hey, don't tell anybody"? It's because he was still teaching his disciples, right? He was teaching them, he was saying, "This is a miracle." And then all of a sudden, voila, all the word gets out. And before you know it, there's thousands and thousands of people that are following Jesus looking for the miracle. But Jesus has got teaching that goes along with it. And through Matthew 13:44, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. I remember when I first heard a word of God, I was managing a group of people down in the shipyard here in South Bay. And someone was working for me who was a man of God. And I knew there was something different about him. There was something. I now know it's the light. He was a born-again Christian. And he presented to me the word of God. And when I kept hearing it, it wasn't like, you know, I can be stubborn, okay? So it took like 5 months for me to really accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. But he was having a pastoral role over me, and he just kept teaching me and presenting to me the Word of God, and the Lord and the Word of God opened up my heart, and I received Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And you know what the first emotion was? Joy. The joy of the Lord. And the joy of the Lord is our strength as well. Another thing we learned from the miracles is Jesus provides eternal life. So Jesus comes to seek and to save. The goal is eternal life. When you have eternal life, you have eternal hope. No matter what's going on in your life, that's the goal, eternal life. Listen to this. In the book of Mark, the very first chapter, it says, "Moved with compassion, Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him." This is the man that had leprosy. And he said to them, "I am willing, be cleansed." Immediately, the leprosy left him, and he was cleansed. Wow. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." Jesus' goal to seek and to save the lost is to give the gift of eternal life. You can't earn it. It's just given to you. Wow, what joy comes from that? It's wonderful. The third thing we learn about from the miracles of Jesus, he provides saving grace. Well, how do you get to eternal life? Let's go back to Mark 7. "And his ears were opened, and his tongue was released, and he spoke plainly." I know this is a physical healing, but there's a spiritual application here. Yes. The word of God goes out, and all of a sudden it starts working on people's heart. It never misses its target. When you preach the word of God, it hits the target every time, and it starts softening up people's hearts, that eventually that word will open your ears and you'll hear the word of God and you will be saved. What a wonderful example of the miracles. In Luke, I love the story of Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was a tax collector. He was hated. He would not only collect tax, but he would extort. He would say, "Well, I know the tax is $5, but you give me 10 and you'll stay out of jail." Wow. This was Zacchaeus, right? He was hated, and he was a Jew as well. And so did he have a community that he could go to? No, he was an outcast. So let's look at this real quick. "When they saw it, they all began to grumble, saying, 'He," meaning Jesus, "has gone to be with the guest of a man who is a sinner.' Zacchaeus stopped and said to the Lord, 'Behold, Lord, half of my possessions I will give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will give back four times as much.' And Jesus said to him, 'Today salvation has come to this house, because he too is the son of Abraham.'" No matter how horrible a person is, that's why we go to the prisons. You just never know what the word of God is going to open up someone's heart to the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. "Today salvation has come to this house, because he too is the son of Abraham." That's what the church does. We seek and we save the lost. We go out and seek, just like the Lord Jesus did. The fourth thing I learned that we can look at for the miracles is Jesus provides unlimited help. Mark 9:23. Jesus said to him, and this is the unclean spirit miracle. Jesus said to him, "All things are possible to him who believes." Jesus took him by the hand and raised him, and he got up. The unclean spirit left him. All things are possible. That's what Jesus wants you to know. Things are tough. We know. We're always getting out of trouble, in trouble. It's about ready to get into trouble, but all things are possible. Because we have the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and we have the church, you know, to help us through all of those situations. And he gives us a plan to do it. Jeremiah 29, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for prosperity and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope." It's unlimited help, but he's given you a future as well. Every single person in here, God has a thing for you to do. It's already preordained. It says it in the scripture. But he's already got something for each one of you to do. And Jesus has raised up the church to help you do that, to train you and to get you ready. That's what the Guatemala trip's all about, right? There's a plan. Each one of those people are fulfilling the plan of God that was given to them. And they listened to the word of God, and they obeyed, and they went to Guatemala to preach the word of God, to bring light to a dark place. And the fifth thing I've learned about the miracles, Jesus provides service to others. The book of Mark is all about Jesus serving others. You know what the church does? The church serves others. Mark 7:31, "Then he turned from the region of Tyre and went through Sidon into the Sea of Galilee, into the region of the Decapolis." That's a big region. Jesus is on the move, right? And so when he returned, he was in Tyre. He was in Sidon. He was outside of Israel. He was inside Israel. He was on the other side of the Jordan. He is everywhere. And you know what the church is doing today? Reaching out to others all over the world. In Mark 45:10, says this, "For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many." You know, so just like the Thailand soccer was rescued, it seemed like there was no hope. But through Jesus Christ and the church that he is building, all things are possible. I'd like the worship team to come up, and I'd like to pray for you. And then Matt will come up and close the service. But Jesus is God. Jesus is here to seek and to save. He's building his church. That's what he's doing. And we're part of that church. And that church is made up of apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers, all for the building up of the church, of you, every one of you, so that you can fulfill your plan that God has already outlined for you. Jesus is our good shepherd. He wants the best for us. If you want to know more about miracles, at 9 o'clock every Sunday morning, right before service, we are going through the miracles of Jesus. It is amazing. Every miracle that we're studying, we learn something new about Jesus and his church. Jesus is building his church all over the world. We're just one of the local churches. It's not a building, although this is a super, super blessing. I was talking to Pastor Doug about that. I says, wow, the Living Way Church started in one little room, you know, just down the street. And now look at this wonderful campus. God blesses those who bless him. We have men's groups. We have small groups coming up. They're going to start up in September. We have fellowship meetings, of time of fellowship, even after the service we have fellowship. We have worship, times of worship. Why are we doing all this? Jesus is building his church, and he's building you up to be strengthened so that you're a rock. You stand on the rock when the storms of life come. Jesus provides joy, eternal life, saving grace, unlimited help, and serves others. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this word today, and that Jesus is building his church and how valuable it is. You're a way maker, no matter how tough things are. You're a miracle worker. You keep your promises, and you're a light in darkness. Lord, please bless this church. Let them know that Jesus loves them. And no matter how tough a situation may be, there's always light in the darkness. There's always a way out where there seemed to be no way. Just like that soccer team in Thailand, it didn't seem to be a way. But you made a way. You're a miracle worker. You make a way. You keep your promises, and you're a light in the darkness. Please bless this congregation. Please strengthen them through the Word of God and through His church and through His Good Shepherd, Jesus Christ. Amen.